Okay, so what'd you think of that?
This is Ion after 13 days. 13 days. The 18th to the 31st. 13 fucking days, and it's only our eighth session. We don't know anything. I don't know what I know. I sound like I know stuff as we're talking. I've picked up on the jargon pretty quickly from the first few sessions, but those were many hours long. But I can tell, as we'll hear when we talk about JW, you're going to hear a lot of naive stuff or something about what the fuck we're dealing with. Obviously, I was some kind of genius for this phenomenon.
Of course. I thought the right things.
And I had known a lot. Oh, did you hear him say, we worked on you for a long time?
Yeah,
now,
well,
long time. Like, what, 6 months? No, 10,000 fucking years. They worked on me for thousands of years to get me to calm down, Bob, calm down. Okay, so here we go. This is JW himself, first talking about the cake.
I have no idea. I don't know.
You don't know what happened?
Well, I know some of it. The quadrant thing was bigger than you gave credit to it for.
Right. Well, I was trying to see if it fit into McLuhan's tetrad, but to me, that's the famous cross.
Well, maybe, but it wasn't even a... It was, uh-oh, hold on. Now you've done it.
Can you blame me?
Yeah. Now he's got more people to blame.
Yeah, it's beeping, so I gotta find another one that's doing its thing.
Oh, your phone, okay.
I just gotta pick up one. Okay, hold on just a second. Speaker might have done that.
Oh, yeah.
Are you there?
Yeah.
I think what I was gonna point out is a fair thing, is there's ratios. The four parts, A is to B, and C is to D. You know, the upper left is to the bottom.
Well, the thing of it is, Bob, you have to get what Ion is talking about before you can throw it into your framework. And that's what's being said here, is you didn't give it enough chance to even understand it before you start taking it over.
Well, that's what I was saying. That I said I'm like the scientist who would not tolerate any matter being directly accessed through mediums. They want to fit it into their concept of matter. And I said, I'm doing the same thing, fitting it into what I think I know. I admit that. Mm-hmm. But I'm not, since I can admit it, I'm not limited to that. I'm not doing that. Mm-hmm. But it's...
since you could admit it, you'll just go ahead and keep doing it. But
well, I knew I was doing it, but I thought, well, maybe it isn't trying to fit in something to the past. It is accurate what I'm referring to.
So anyway, let's...
No, get that. It's accurate, the tactile concept.
Yeah, but you don't understand. I'm saying that I agree that it's a... I think it's a great model because it'll help people understand it, even if, you know, just by having a schematic, and it can develop.
Okay, on that sense, for the simple minds that need a schematic.
Yeah.
Now, I'm looking at it as more fluid. The upper right, left, upper left, is to the bottom right as the upper right is to the lower left. Mm-hmm. Lower left. So there may be ratios here.
Okay.
That's where the developing, the complexity comes in. Do you see that, JW? There could, if you think of A is to B as C is to D, they're all, or A is to D as C is to B, you could make these ratios. That seems to be the fluidity of the interaction between matter and antimatter. As a matter of fact, I remember it came up last session. There's something.
Yes. That is exactly correct.
Yes. Now, do you understand that, Carol?
Uh-huh. Oh,
okay. You remember when it came up in the last show?
No, I don't know if I was there, but I don't know what you're saying.
I just remember them saying, yeah, there was the stopping. Remember that complex passage, we'll say, about how you can stop the allowing and stopping and something, and the matter jumps in and it becomes thought, and then it's matter. Oh, yeah, and then it can pop out and be non-matter again. Do you remember that kind of stuff?
No. Okay. No, I'd probably been driven to bed.
But I thought of what it is a minute ago, and JW agreed. Now, my garbled statement right there, is that approximate to what you thought we were recalling, JW?
Yes.
Yeah, good. That's all I need. Yeah.
We got, this is the part where you do the final touches and get all the holes.
We want a picture of that. I'm serious.
That's 6 big bags of icing, though, and it went pretty fast.
How big a cake is it?
It's it's a sheet cake, and then it's got a...
Hey, stop it there. Now move it forward.
Did you say vision?
We develop this just a little bit now. This is fun.
Position.
Yeah, gotcha.
Let's develop this just a little bit.
No, what does this refer to? Your father, the April Fools, or the antimatter? You see what I mean? I can remember.
Stop. You have to stay with what we're talking about. You wouldn't start on April Fool. You wouldn't have the first ever recording on April Fool.
Right.
Because it would make it less than you wanted it to be.
Yeah,
that's
we
what
want to
talking
be.
Talking about.
All right. I didn't know. See, with my experience.
You don't have to explain it, Bob. We
no,
know.
We're getting to the point where I can understand, where I can tell them what I mean. Like,
well, you've told them 20 times.
No,
so that's fine. You know now.
In talking to JW for 2 years, for 2 years or more, we cover many topics. So when he goes, this is this, and I'm like him, I got a good memory, is he referring to what we just talked about 10 seconds ago or a minute ago? That's the problem I have constantly. Okay.
Okay. Then I'll better get your time ready because I'll say 9 seconds ago, that's what that was referring to. And then
okay.
How good you are at it.
Yeah.
No, as far as the flow of the conversation, that's why the reference was, I wouldn't want that to be that way either.
Yeah.
Meaning, I wouldn't want it to be bastardized because
yeah.
Things get bastardized enough
yeah.
Without any extra.
Yes.
But that's exactly right. Just as the same thing as I wouldn't do go over all of Satanism on Christmas Day or Easter.
Right.
You see what I mean?
Yeah.
But I wouldn't go working up Buddha on Easter Sunday.
Yes.
But we could do that, but I probably wouldn't do it on Easter Sunday just
yeah.
Because it becomes a point of remembering that of whatever's important at that time. I mean, that Christmas season is for that reason. But now we can have some fun. We want to develop it now. We can do some fun. But that's not the trick. The trick of that is simply the process that we're trying to create this new beginning thing.
Yeah,
you know?
April Fool's Day, not April Fool's Day. That's good.
Yeah, because it has a connotation that would be disproportionate with what we're trying to create.
We're trying to make this relatively real. We and that's hard enough. Like, you know, dumbing it down. So we don't want any implied jokes and not meaning real by having it on April Fool's Day.
That would be correct.
Yeah.
Now we've got a good start here. Carolyn, I'd like to play with you.
Uh-huh.
Please.
Yeah.
What
is this JW
see?
Or Ion?
This is JW.
Okay.
Yeah. Or I should have said we can't tell the difference, but yeah, you can tell a little bit of difference. Now, the process for the average bear. Bob is the enlightened one. We understand that. We've got that.
Yeah.
What we're talking about is for the average bear, okay? Was this proportionate to other readings you've ever heard of? Was it in line? Was it out of line? Was it very different? Was it good? Was it... could need to be beefed up more, need to be dumbed down more. In this particular example, compared to others that you've experienced, what's your criticism or what do you think?
Yeah, it was very much like the Abrahams, because I've listened to it.
See, there you go. I'm thinking
Bob,
talking about the last time.
You let me get a sentence
yes,
out?
But I want to know what you're talking about, and you're not concerned about people hearing what you're saying. Are you talking about the last hour or the Chad thing? Have you determined?
The Chad thing.
I'm talking about the Chad
well,
thing.
Well, that wasn't obvious to me.
Well, it's obvious to someone who's...
Okay,
deep.
1 hour and 9 minutes ago, that's what we're talking about now, Bob.
Okay, good.
So, yeah, it was... very much like the Abrahams, the words, you know, the phraseology, and all the rest of it. And, you know, I would wonder if someone was used to the Abrahams, they just think, oh, he's just talking Abrahams. But then there was a deeper level, the consistency, the Abrahams are consistent too, but you seem to reach,
a more complex, but also telling you practical ways to do the complex.
Right. And it and that has to be what it is, because that's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, are you going to be a soothsayer who tells people their past and present and future and creates a whole mythology around how wonderful you are because you know everything, whereas, you know very well what the answers are, that we are mostly non-physical and we're not living it enough, you know, to manifest our experience. So you're very consistent and, like we said earlier, if you give people a little bit of a psychic hit, that will pacify them that, yeah, you are non-physical, you know what you're talking about, you are talking from source, and I think they'll get a good experience and be able to, it'll help them, you know, readers that we've had before. I mean, I've sent people to, tea leaf readers who I thought were okay because they needed someone, and then I've got a complaint back from the tea leaf reader. Well, this person's coming back every week, you know. They're obviously not getting it. So we want people to get it.
Correct. Okay. So, and their point of getting it, though, is always from the standpoint of where they are.
Uh-huh.
If they are where they are. What color is his hair?
Bob, do you have...
It's what you said in the read, dark brown. You mentioned that color.
Yeah.
You're kidding.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, I was wondering if he was blonde or...
No, he's dark, you know, almost black, but, like, maybe not totally black.
Uh-huh.
And that's from pictures. I've never seen him personally. Will in a couple of weeks, but, yeah, it's dark brown.
Yeah.
But it resonated with... It was as though what you really... If you do it right, in my opinion, and this is my humanoid opinion,
yeah.
If you do it right... You should be able to resonate with the person, so it would be almost like, I would love it if everybody, well, no, that's not true. I'm stretching here, but I would like it if everybody was like Bob, but I don't think I could live through that.
Right, and I was just thinking that I will be a little bored or irritated by these readings as I listen to them, because they're not me.
Yeah.
I have to accept the irritation. That's the on-the-job irritation, you know what I mean? Because it, I mean, I was, I guess I was a bit surprised that he got so much out of it.
Yeah.
But that's me.
He did, because that's where he was.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and that, actually, I was thinking that through the reading, that I'm sure Ion is going right where he needs to be gotten.
Yeah, right. Like, and that's the goal. That is the goal.
Uh-huh.
Because that's the part. You got to meet people where they are, or they won't get it anyway.
Yeah.
They'll think Ion is as kooky as Bob.
Yeah, which is what Bob's always criticizing me for. That, well, why don't you talk to your clients about the five bodies and tell them that this and that and this and that? And I say, well, that's not where they are.
Yeah. You can't get them there. You can't answer questions that aren't being asked. And it was very interesting how his flow of questioning. From the blocks, it was just kind of like a kid. No, not like a kid like this in a negative connotation. It's not like that. But it was kind of like building blocks. He just wanted to know how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted to know how to make his life better and wanted to know how to take control or activate the creator part of him.
Mm-hmm.
And he heard answers that he never would have heard. He never heard these answers before, and they work.
And that was the goal. That was the goal, because this is a developing thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you came in here and say, hear ye the word of the Lord, bam, 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 mm-hmm. then you're just setting yourself up to be crucified.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
No, I think that the fact that he said to me, it was not what I expected, that's great. That he had an original experience.
Mm-hmm.
Good,
mm-hmm.
good, 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 good. That's fine. Now, looking at the value perceived, now, this isn't a Bob question, okay? This is a Carolyn question. Looking at the value received,
mm-hmm.
how would you rate or gauge? Maybe we should do a questionnaire thing so they can have feedback on it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how they're going to question non-physical, but, yeah, I don't know.
Well,
maybe not.
But you're saying, yeah, they'd have to have had other mediums. Some will, some haven't.
No, not even comparing, but just what did you get out of this reading? And would... I guess.
Well, he'll say it to me in an email or verbally.
But in general, you know, when you get a ton of people and you don't even know them, they're not going to give you feedback. It's good that we know all these people in the beginning, so we can get their feedback.
Yeah,
and it becomes a litmus test to see if we're hitting it on the all cylinders or if we're missing it from the aspects that they're trying to accommodate.
The Chad, and then the next person will be Ed Seaton, then his girlfriend, but then Sue Bone and Ed Pusser, they've all interacted with Evergreen. See, we're finding people who've had the Evergreen experience.
Uh-huh.
And then that's a launching point
and
for us.
And Sue is big on Abraham.
Yes, she's been in the Abraham for decades.
Good.
You know, so we're...
Well, then she'll be more enlightened and maybe her questions will be better.
Yeah. Right now she's learning my stuff going through the last 3 weeks, going through a years of shows, so she's getting all primed on that. And it'll be very interesting to see... what that does to her way she experiences you. So there's inner dodecahedron ratios going on here.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Ed C.
Want it to be the next step.
Yeah.
And you're not going to say anything about anyone to JW.
No, I'm not saying anything. No.
No.
I'm just saying that Ed Seaton had a reading with the Evergreens. Sue Bone had a reading. Ed Pusser had a reading, those three. Chad never had a reading, but he's friends of Michael.
No, he listened to a lot.
Oh, yeah, he listened. So he had that experience.
He knew the voice.
Yeah, and his girlfriend probably, next Tuesday, probably has heard the tapes. And then who else we got, Carolyn? We've got, Scott.
Steve Reimer, then.
Oh, yeah, now he's had no experience in that, all this stuff, I don't think. So that'll be, we'll move in, it'll be a little further down the way, you know, next 2 weeks or so. But it's pretty perfect, the people we've got.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now, as we adjust prices, now we're setting the prices now at where we are, but I was telling Bob today that Ion's going to have to enter into a loan agreement with me because he's causing huge expenses.
Yeah.
Already, that we've got to learn how to, because it's got to pay for itself.
Yeah.
If you've got to go on welfare to help this happen, then we're missing it.
Yeah. Yes.
You know what I'm saying? The need, you got, if this is a ministry, has to always pay for itself.
Mm-hmm.
If it doesn't, then you're doing it wrong.
Yeah, so. I get, with the people we talked, this first series of $100 ones, you know, we'll have to, one of the questions we could start asking them, well, you know, what would you pay for this? And then, you know, just set your own price, what you think it needs to be. I mean,
well, we talked about this earlier. I was going to tell you some of it. The Abrahams charge around 200. The Willows charge around 200. So we're going to begin at 200 because that seems to be the standard.
Okay.
And we can do like a shopping cart. We talked about this a little bit, which really sounded okay to me.
Mm-hmm.
Do a shopping cart. Let's say somebody is... Oh my God! You've already sent me the Chad thing. Wow!
Thanks.
Huge.
Well, when it's just 1 hour, it only took 10 minutes to download and do all that.
Let's see if I can. It takes me 10 minutes to figure out the code.
Yeah, right. And I'm so I did that, and then I came down, and I'm making dinner.
Cool.
Oh, yeah, Carolyn joined the reading, vacuumed the floor, went out in the yard, made noise. Those pipes make noise, Carolyn. I don't know if you ever heard the pipes.
No.
Yeah, you're outside.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm going to tell JW, I've done a lot of housework done.
There you go. That's good.
As long as we don't knock the telephone and knock it off. You got to be careful about that. But here's the interesting part I was going to tell you before the session with Chad, Carolyn.
Yeah.
We had a very funny conversation about George Reno.
Oh, yeah.
JW says, "What? Now, we got this George kook. When he finds out, basically without going through all the preamble, he said, basically I have to say, George, I don't know if you can take it. This is Evergreens 3, Evergreens 4. You faded Evergreens 2.
Yeah.
And we're going to make it like dangle the carrot. But as soon as he gets in, he's going to unleash thousands upon us because of his network."
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Now, in doing personal readings, it actually will be better or more. But what we were talking about doing is like a shopping cart.
Yeah.
Whereas, let's say they're poor or messed up or whatever all that means. I really don't know.
Yeah.
But do like a $100 thing where it's 30 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Where they can just get a taste and get their thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or, and then you got somebody in a bigger scale that's, you know, much, much more.
Uh-huh. They could do a 2 hour and pay the $400.
Correct. Now, the difference with Abraham is they charged $195, and that's what they've charged all along. But they have thousands in their groups that come, and then they only have to answer questions for a handful of people.
Yes.
See what
yes,
I mean?
Yes,
so
yes.
We got to get a balance in that. What when my Evergreens was, what, 500 at the end?
Yes. Yep.
You know, and how was that going? Was he trying to slow it down, or what was the reason for that?
Well, maybe there was inflation, but they lived well, a nice middle class, upper middle class, always lived well and comfortable. And they needed that amount to do that, I guess. He always did the same amount of readings pretty well a week for all those years, like 4 days, three times a day. He did it 4 or 5 days a week, constantly. So did he end up having clients in 19 countries and apparently 11,000 readings? So he, you know, he started in 74 and he's doing it in the 90s. Inflation meant he had to charge more. So he probably was still keeping it at the $280 it was, I think, when we first did it in 1980. Ratio-wise. You know
but
what I mean?
I thought it was, I mean, personally, I thought it was too much.
Yeah.
$500 for an hour, but...
he didn't suffer. He got clients.
Because if you can do it, and if you offer that, the sliding on the time, that is the way to allow, you know, everybody to do it. So at a certain point, yeah, it'll be $152 for 30 minutes.
Yeah, and he couldn't just go into trance for half an hour. That's what was understood. Might have been his resistance factor, but he couldn't have done just 30 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
It had to be, since his body went so deep or something and the body processes were shut down, it was a cycle that had to be at least 60 minutes.
Well, okay.
This is what I do, and this is what I know to do, and so this is what I do.
No, but it's almost like he's creating a mystique around it.
Oh, yeah.
Like a George Reynolds, you know. Hey, George, this is EG3. I don't think you could take it. I have seen three enlightened people collapse, George, during the first readings.
There you go. Now, it gets to be kind of fun because now we got to realize, because, see, so far, now the books are going to make money and the tapes are going to make money. You'll have somebody like Chad might want to purchase the other sessions and tapes. How is that going to be? Are we going to make those available? And how do you? I mean, we own it. There's no question there. But how do you want that developed? I guess. But that's a Carolyn thing, really, because you got to go through and do you want to pick stuff and edit it that way, or? Because, see, that's what you'll have to do in a lot of the book stuff as well.
Yeah. And the question is, do we edit out, you know, the person's name and just put it out there as this is a reading that goes into blah, blah, blah?
The thing is that with the modern, like I think of Ellie would have to dub off cassettes and do a, that's not what happens anymore.
You get the tape in, you know, in 5 minutes.
Yeah, so we have a website with topics, and people pay, probably with the most advanced downloading technology. They pay, and then they download it, you know, that kind of stuff. But we need someone who'd understand how to make a website to do that, which is more expense.
Well, it's going to be expense, but, you know, you're going to have that anyway. But
yeah, I mean, I could get my guy in Oklahoma. Sam, he can set up a shopping cart and put that together in no time.
But see, it's got to be a constant adding to, which kind of makes that. But you got to, and the way to do that is to outline it so that the topics are easy to access. And that's mm-hmm. what the note part would be important.
Yeah, right.
You know, from that side. But, okay, but that's something to play with. But now, revenues. This needs to bring in, once we get this together, between $8 to $12 million dollars a year.
You say it needs to do that?
Yeah, if we're doing it at all well.
Yeah,
of course. No, you're saying it needs to do that to be judged well, or you're projecting it will do that.
If we're not doing that much, we're sort of pissing in the wind.
Oh, okay.
I mean, that's just a good medium. We can do way more than that, because the books alone, my God, that's pretty significant.
Well, you've already seen all this happening.
Yeah.
I don't.
I'm trying to share it so y'all don't go, oh, my God, I'm freaked out of my mind. There's a whole bunch of stuff.
No, that's great that it's going to be a success. I didn't know that a week ago. Now, I guess it is, because we're getting good stuff, so.
You know, and you look at what the Abrahams are doing, and you see, I mean, everybody is going, Sylvia Brown, $800 an hour, good grief. I mean, people are desperate.
30 minutes.
Oh, man, 30 minutes.
And they're saying, oh, no. And the best part is there's a three-year waiting list.
Oh, right, yeah, but Bob did tell me that part where, well, you know, let me know when Sylvia Brown calls, and we'll give her an appointment 3 years hence.
and then when it's time to do it, then we'll bump her 3 or 4 times.
Yeah, Jay,
that's the best thing. Do you understand now, guys?
Yep.
You gotta know that was the best thing that could have ever happened in my life.
Yeah.
That'll go down in history as the single best experience that ever happened to me.
Right.
What it did is it made me really focus on my questions and line up with my questions to make sure that my asking was correct, that I really had to focus on it. And then when the third one got bumped and I looked at my questions, I could answer every single one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
J.W. Had I not had that experience, I would have had confidence in Sylvia, like your tea reader, where they're coming every week.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
And now what had to happen is it had to develop into this context of the experience. Because now you see you can take this experience and apply it into a dumbed-down version that doesn't skew the words.
Mm-hmm.
A perfect example is Chad. We dumbed it down.
Yeah.
We didn't really dumb it down. All we really did was answer it in the way he was asking. And it was very fluid. I mean, from what I could see with him, he was a little shocked. He was a little, not quite stunned, but he was a little amazed that it was that he had that much interaction.
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
And that he could apply it, and if there's something he didn't understand, he could re-ask it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was unusual, because see, a lot of the verbiage, it's the part that you already know, which is the same thing that Jane Russell Roberts did with Seth.
Mm-hmm.
And was that ever a hit? Were they ever infamous or famous, or were they anybody? I don't know that I ever heard of them other than through the Abrahams until I found it out.
Oh, no, they were the first New Age medium. It wasn't huge, but it was a successful book in the 70s. A lot of people knew of it.
Everybody who was into New Age knew about them. So they would be in all the, New Age bookstores, the incense-burning bookstores. So a certain level of the population, but certainly, you know, no...
They were probably the first people to come in after Edgar Cayce. People got hip to Cayce in the late 60s, early 70s. That was the first wave of the baby boomer generation. And then Seth came in a little later. And then Ramtha. I guess in my mind, Ramtha is the next one, Jay-Z Knight.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God.
All right. Right. But anyways, that was big. That's right. But that was big. That was the Reagan era. That was the suitable for the Reagan era. And then there was Lazarus, but Abrahams maybe was the next one. The Evergreens never became known. The Evergreens say that they are the biggest secret, the biggest open secret on the planet. A lot of influential people knew of the Evergreens, used them, but they weren't known in the Ramtha level or the Seth level. But so the Abrahams became the next popular thing.
Yeah, and they're going in the fame game now. I mean, they're going over the top.
Do they want to?
Well, if they didn't, they wouldn't be there.
What I would say is that JW is pissed they're going that way, and now we have to create an anti-environment to them.
Never. No, not so much. Basically, is there is a hole, and the hole you made clear.
Yeah.
And they were right there at your doorstep, and you chose not to go because of all those needy people that were there.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
No,
to the Abrahams because we've been through it earlier. So it's interesting. I'm sitting on the sidelines watching the Abrahams expand, and I know the to me the Airings are better, but I end up creating the void that the Abrahams creating. I've helped create it, something to fill a hole.
Yeah, and maybe it's not quite a void, but it becomes definitely, it makes a place for itself. And what I mean by that is it makes a place so that folks can have asking, can ask, because they wouldn't go. Because, see, I could, and that's always amazing, because folks looked at me and the Abrahams and just would freak, because I get called to the chair every single time. And I knew I was going to be called. I mean, there was never a doubt in my mind or a question ever.
And people would notice.
They would notice, and they would look forward to me going because they knew I was going to ask a fun question. And I'd travel across the country to visit them, and it was fun, and there I'd be. And then they'd make the statement that's like, you know, sometimes Jerry and Esther think that people, it's the same crowd that just follows them around the country.
The same five people get to ask the questions.
Well, because that's what it comes across as a lot of the time.
Yeah.
Because that's the way it kind of works out. I mean, literally, I can tell you what the next Asheville seminar is going to be about.
Yeah, and Sue Bone was one of the people who got to ask questions.
Mm-hmm.
The one we'll be doing in the middle of April, April 10th or so. But what did you say? You just said something. You know psychically what's going to be the next session? Is that what you're saying?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No, it's not psychically. I just know it's run. It runs a certain
It'll be the same question.
In Asheville, the little woman's going to ask about her red Carrera Porsche that she's been trying to get for 4 years, and she can't get it, and she's still after it, and it never goes, and it goes on and on and on and on and on. And I'm thinking, and that's okay, because they are where they are. But you have to get weary of that, because in non-physical, of what we experience, and now know, wow, what Esther experiences, it is just a drain. It's just killing us, because it's kind of like, damn, they're not getting it.
They're not getting it, and that's what... this book that I was bringing up just to open the discussion now about Conman Godman is that people around Krishnamurti, he talked for 40 years, the same words, the same thing, the same everything. And I don't know that one person got what he said.
And he felt that himself, that nobody was getting it.
You know, I was probably waiting for someone like Ion where we could really get into some deep discussions and
you could control it.
Without Bob.
Yeah, without me.
Oh, well, see, I've got this all worked out. What we're going to do is we'll start in the morning before Bobby leaves.
Oh, that's right.
You can tear up the world. You got it, honey, because there won't even be a Bob, and it may be the best ones ever.
That's right.
It's fun.
Yeah.
I'll have to buy the books to find out what was said.
That's right, Annie. Or you can listen to the CD. It'll be available for a nominal charge.
I'm setting the alarm. I'm getting up.
I won't change the batteries.
That'll fix him. But no, and I'm being just tongue-in-cheek because it is fun. But the whole process is we've got to be mindful of the business aspect. For example, sometimes, especially when we come into a place, if y'all are interested, you've got to know by this time, by April Fool's Day, which it is now already, by April Fool's Day next year, we will have to do something and work out something for doing a public meeting.
Okay, so I got to move it forward a bit. Right there.
The projection by Walter was accurate to the degree that we're going to be busy. Right?
Yes,
yeah,
of
okay.
course. But you knew you were going to be busy anyway.
When? You mean in reference to Ion?
No, in reference to you.
Yes.
It's not about Ion. It's got to be about you.
Because
if it's only about Ion, you'll get left out of the wash.
Right. I knew it would be about me in that level, yes.
Well, then it is. If it is about you, then it's about you. And it has to be, and that's okay.
And I've been bragging about it for 20 years.
Well, and you describe it.
Yep.
What does it feel like? What does it touch like? What is it, every aspect of it. And damn, it's what's showing up in your experience, and you're surprised.
Yeah. No, I'm not surprised.
Well,
I'm enjoying it.
Yes,
there's a difference.
Correct. But that's how it's done, and that very process is one that is very necessarily useful in communicating how the veil thins to the point where it can be in your experience that this is what you're sharing.
Yeah.
It becomes a manifestation for dummies.
That's right.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. That's a good one, manifestation for dummies. But I don't know if you remember, during a reading I brought up this quote a couple of nights ago. This 19th century psychic said, "I made it all up, but it came true anyways, and that's the funny part."
Because that's how you do it. It was Chad's question about truth.
Yeah.
I think that was the shocker for him.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was a shocker for him because he's kind of like going, well, shit, no wonder I've messed up. I've been telling the truth. My version of the truth that didn't get me what I wanted, and then that's what I got.
Yeah.
So the truth was made manifest by that.
So that's the end of the JW talk. Now we're going to go back to Ion.
Okay. Bob, what was your question again?
I was saying that the evergreens said they are here to create a world of choice. My question in the form of a statement is, I realize that the real choice that we are working towards and the evergreens work for is that not is there just a fight to have organic food because Monsanto wants to outlaw organic farms. We want to have the real possibility for those that can live it and handle it to have access to non-physical. So they have those that live the world of access to non-physical and those that don't are not interested and work and live under Obama. That's a real choice. That statement, is that true?
Okay. The words, the practicality of those words are indeed true. But there's a little bit of a false premise there. And the only false premise is that you have nothing but choice. As a creator creating, that's the only choice that you have. Every choice, every action, everything that is done, that is created or not created, is the choice. You can't come to give people more choice. They already have every choice that is. They are the only ones who have choice.
Well, then the non-physical,
non-physical doesn't have choice. Non-physical and resistanceless reality doesn't want. So therefore, there is no choice. There is no choice. They don't choose.
Other non-physical. That's
correct.
Yeah.
So the only choosing is co-creating with humans, and they are choosing constantly. Even if they're choosing slavery, they're so free they can choose bondage. That's pretty free.
Yes, so what did the Aryans mean that they thought they were creating a world with more choice?
Maybe they were trying to convey the part that you were conveying, which is right words.
Yeah.
See, the words were right.
Yeah.
Except it did not count for the false premise. And the false premise is, if that was the case, why did they stop? Did they get done?
Yeah.
Are they complete? Then why would they ever stop? If that was their job, that was their goal, why would you ever cease in non-physical until that became the reality within the heavens?
Yeah.
You see, so that's what I'm saying. It's false premise unless you pass the baton or come to the place where everybody has choice. Maybe they are complete. Maybe they did get it. Maybe they now conveyed that everybody does indeed have ultimate choice. And it is an ultimate choice because that's all there has ever been is choice. Maybe it's that understanding that was brought forth that was their working or goal, and that very well may be, because there's no, it takes out the false premiseness of the process, and that's all we were referring to or meaning in the dynamic. But you can't jump down a false premise and then build on it. That's what the Catholic Church did.
Right.
They took a false premise and then built a demigod that
So what are the
and
words?
I don't want this to become that direction that it takes a couple thousand years to unwind it.
Right. Well, you could look at the history of art movements over the last 150 years.
Exactly.
Artists did all kinds of interesting things to sabotage themselves. Usually it didn't work, but we can look at the example of artists. They knew they were hypnotizing people, and they tried to undercut it. So they didn't become a monster. So that's the advantage of the artist. And the Pope doesn't like that attitude. But J.W. talks about communicating to the dumbed down and to do something. There's some common zone that J.W. wants to influence.
Yes, he wants to be able to portray Ion to the most people that he can that are on the leading edge. And he always is for, he's not necessarily specifically for the underdog, but he's very, very keenly sympathetic, empathetic, aware of those that have a developing consciousness regarding of who they are. And if his wanting to be able to take everyone or anyone that has the asking to develop a concept that reminds them of who they are and reminds them of the non-physical part of their ability to create their own world, which they're already creating anyway.
Yeah.
But if you realize that you can have a causal effect, that you can tap into, you call it the ethers.
Yeah.
We don't even really know what that means. But to tap into the ethers, in those words, that can give you an edge to understand who you really are and that your job is simply to look for joy or bliss. But if you can't get to bliss, joy will do. Rejoice. Joy will rejoice. I guess you can't rejoice until you joyce. But joy was what we were trying to convey.
Yeah.
That joyful interaction that life is supposed to be good. And once you get that down as a right premise, everything else kind of fades away. You eliminate countless hours of communication skills, necessary or not, to just be a beacon of salt and light to a world that is dying, literally, for salt and light.
Yeah.
They want enlightenment. So what's the fastest path to get there? Well, Carolyn is on that path and does it perfectly because it's simply the purest form of that process. Because that's all it is a process. All right, now, the reality of what you're talking about is absolutely keen, absolutely leading edge, absolutely right on the cusp of what we're just literally becoming in non-physical or your physical beingness, we are becoming that answer to the ever-posed question, the answer to the ever-posed question. Then all that does, if it sparks inside of you, the non-physical part that is you, and you, Bob, if it sparks inside of you and resonates with you, the things that you know to be your reality, that simply becomes a seamless transition of your becoming.
Yeah.
Now, that's the ticket. Now, you can do a fat cat, what you call a fat cat, the same way. Sometimes the what they call mega rich, they get it because they understand how to create, or they allow these things to come into their experience. And if it's their wanting, you can't keep them from Ion. They will find him.
Yeah.
They will find us. They will find your vessel that you use to communicate those elements or common denominators of paths of joy. They'll seek it because they may not be happy even though they've figured out how to do a certain perfunctory task. The deal or the breast or the girth of this process is nothing other than you finding a way to summons the spark that opens you on fire to consume doubt, to consume lack. But then there's many people that are asking for lack. How do you think Obama got to be president?
Mm-hmm.
The mass consciousness wanted someone in that seat of authority to be culpably responsible for their happiness. And that's great, wonderful, but it's a false premise. The government's not going to send a proclamation saying that everything's okay.
Yeah.
It's not their job. They didn't create the world, so they can't destroy it. But now that's completely out the table, out of the picture. But if you could be a leader of a known world, and your time and energy and space could be used to empower, now this isn't the Republican, as you call them, version, but because they are washfish and they flip-flop. You can't tell a Democrat from a Republican anymore. Matter of fact, the truth of the validation of that is, isn't it amazing that the Democrats were always red and the Republicans were always blue, and now all of a sudden that's changed?
How has it changed?
Now the Republicans are red and the Democrats are blue.
In the mapping on the elections, you mean the red states and blue states?
All of it, how they see it. The color of the jackass and the color of the elephant, they're different. They use that elephant used to be blue, now it's red. The jackass used to be red, now it's blue.
Oh, that's interesting.
So they can't even figure out what color they want to be. So how are they going to set the precedent to solve all the issue? But that's not a problem, that's good, because the mass consciousness is where they are. But that's not the people that we're actually talking to, because there are other folks that are in this world that are tapping in and representing non-physical who are going after the mass consciousness, and that's wonderful. But the part that would reach the mass consciousness is simply appalling to you because you're way ahead of that game. It would bore you. It would be, well, I don't want that. I've already got that.
Yeah.
I don't want to know that. I already know that. But it doesn't mean that you're not having a less wanting of joy and desire. It's just at a more redefined place.
Yeah.
And that's wonderful because it allows you to draw now. We've been dealing with the leading edge of creation. Now we're talking about the leading edge of creation.
Yeah.
I got the primer. I understand it. Now I want to know how to do it. I've got it. You've preached to the choir. We've heard the sermon before. We know the words. Now, how do you apply that into my physical beingness that is me, that has the power and the physical ability to actually manifest it? You share joy. You were talking to J.W. earlier about planes. Fine. How do you get rain? How do you get to live in Hawaii? How do you get a beautiful wife that loves you when she ought to be beating you in the head with a baseball bat most of the time? How do you do that? And yet she still loves you somehow. And nobody in the world knows why. It does. It does not make logistical sense, you see. However,
how do you get from there to here or whatever it is?
Precisely. And if you can give away, or find a way to summons the ability for that spark in you to be able to be conveyed that this is how you get from there from here or from here from there, then you've built a bridge, and the bridging is what Carolyn does best. And that bridging, she's more concerned with how it goes than what's being said.
Yeah.
Now, that's incredibly important because you understand that's about 99% of creation. That's to create. It's not the answer to the question, but what do you have to go through to get to asking the right questions? You're going to find this as history goes along here in your history. When you start dealing with this, with the leading edge of creation, that you're going to have people that are going to be in different places. The one that comes to mind that I can just paint you a picture that is just amazing, and you're really going to like this. When you start drawing a parallel between Ronnie and Susie, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You and JW experienced that firsthand and were just shocked, almost stunned, okay?
Yeah.
I mean, just more than we could even fathom, okay? Carolyn wasn't concerned with that. That was okay. All she was trying to do was get to a solution. How can this one be happy? How can that one be happy? how can we get JW to slow down smoking them cigarettes, because there's not going to be enough tobacco grown in the country to keep up, because he was just like a cat on a hot tin roof.
Yeah.
I mean, he called storms, he called all kinds of craziness to try to break that chain of pain in his experience, and just had to relax and allow, because you couldn't get there from here, as we described it. Okay, now let's draw a parallel between Ronnie, a sweet, whole spirit in a physical body, who is desperately seeking, always seeking the questions that will enhance her ability to be a mother, be a wife, to change the world, be a delight in this physicalness to create. And instead, what she has is her limitations of what she can't do. She's so very powerful, and she knows that until it comes time to apply it. You see? But that would tie into being affiliated with a Susie. Susie's got it. She's the high priestess. She's there. She's got it all. But her piety and her knowingness eliminates any other interaction except for her own reality. That's perfectly fine and well, but it becomes quite a lonely estate after a second.
Mm-hmm.
You see? If you've got all the answers and got no way to do it and got no way to do it with and can't convey it, she said it best when she went to India or somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't even say I was wrong.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah.
Because she couldn't allow that. But now she's top of her game. That's the leading edge as you get. You can't get more leading edge than that. That's money on the... That's money on the nose.
Yeah.
But you've got to be able, and all that power that is yours, to be able to, I don't want to say dumb it down, because those are JW's words and they're not accurate, because that, you can't do that. But if you could maybe answer the question or the wanting from their beginning point of where they are, then your success rate goes up about 10,000% or exponentially, because now they're hearing what you have to offer. Basically, the reference JW's made many times, bootlegging the kingdom.
Mm.
And what that means is, if you can't get through the front door, you can convey in such a way where you can be a friend to somebody, and you can have a relationship with somebody, and you can actually give a damn about what they're thinking, or what they know, or what their experience is. That compassion that is born in you, because you're probably more compassionate than Carolyn is, but you'd never get deep enough under your layers to find that out.
Mm.
You're actually more compassionate than she is, and she's the most compassionate. She loves everybody except that one person, so that's a pretty good average as it goes.
Yeah.
And your reality is you don't care, and that's okay. But tempering it to a degree that you can reach someone on leading edge. That's not your job. Your job is to create your own joy.
Yeah.
But in that experience, as an example, you're going to draw the right people in your environment to set the path of least resistance for your manifestations to become evident in your life. You don't have to even get the money to buy the plane, Bob. Somebody can just provide the plane. Then you don't have to have insurance. Then you don't have to buy gas. That's pretty sweet.
That's what Walter said. Someone was going to give us a plane.
Yeah. Someone can give us a lottery, buy the plane. They can just provide. If the issue is traveling, and the issue is how you want to travel, and what your experience you want to be that you're looking forward to,
yeah.
Isn't that amazing? Now take that and break that down. You look forward to something. You're looking forward in the future, but you also use that term to looking forward to a nice evening on the beach, or you're looking forward to a nice experience.
That's the difference between the quadrant on the bottom right and the quadrant on the upper left, I think.
Oh, my God. Carolyn? Carolyn.
I can't get here from there.
You didn't get
Carolyn.
It?
Yes.
Got it.
I got it, Carolyn.
Oh.
Your altimeter, is plumb and square because we spent a little bit of energy and time making sure that we weren't jumping down a false premise.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, we do a lot of that because it's so much easier because then you don't have to undo things. See?
Yeah.
Because there's nothing wrong. You can't get it wrong. How do you get it wrong? It's just the developing it to suit your pleasure. Perfect words. Now what happens is you can draw from non-physical, reach completely through the veil, and resonate with the part of you that has already pierced the veil. Because the non-physical part of you is already there. That's why you can now boldly say, I'm dead. I'm Bob. Bob's dead. Bob died. He's passed. He's gone.
Yeah.
And Bob's now no longer in the way.
Mm.
Well, once Bob's out of the way, boy, that sure opens up creation, doesn't it?
Yeah, get me out of the way.
Do you see what's happened, though? Because now how can Bob have resistance? He's dead.
Yeah.
He literally joined non-physical. And the joining of non-physical now allows you to catapult in what we're discussing and in interacting and engaging with here, a pure aspect of physicalness that allows manifestation to happen instantaneous.
Mm.
You're streamlining the span of time that creates.
Yeah.
See, by doing it 3, 2, 1. But now we've covered that, and you've got that, and we're there. And then sometimes we go back and we talk to people from the past. Sometimes you haven't done this yet, but you can also talk to people from the future.
Ah, that's a good point.
We haven't done that yet because
yeah.
There's no moniker to gauge that expression from. But see, from non-physical, that is. That's the creating part that is. In our world, in our reality, in our time-space continuum, there is only is. That is encompasses all.
Yeah.
And so, in the physical realm of opening the parameters that the most people can be part. I would say enlightened, but that's a false premise, you see. You got to
yeah.
be very careful.
Yeah.
Enlightenment's the right word, but that's a false premise because we're not here to enlighten anybody. They're here to create it as they go. And it's their own enlightenment that draws them to the flicker like a moth to the flame. Why does a moth want to get to the flame? It makes no sense. They get burned up most of the time. But they just can't resist it. They just got to be a moth to the flame.
Yeah.
So that's the clearing process. Now, clearing. What is clearing? Clearing is when you come into it. Boy, you're supposed to be asking a question, I guess, but we hadn't got there. This has been a pretty fun rampage. Maybe you developed it, and this is just kind of the expression of
yeah.
that. But if this ain't a rampage, I don't really know what is. We're
yeah, you're bobbing. You're a bobbing Bob here.
And it's amazing because I haven't messed up the pronouns yet.
Right.
And you're with it.
Yep.
And see, this is a perfect example of the difference when the asking was so clear and so pure that the answer becomes a seamless.
Yeah. Happened the same. The solution shows up same time as the problem question.
Every single time, without fail or exception. Now, the next layer. Now, we may have to do some editing as you're kind of rolling along here, but here you go. Here's where it's going to be. First stop, first level. We're going to develop our documents and paperwork for the world systems in which we can communicate within the system parameters that have been laid out. Now, we already know a bigger, better way to do this, but you are where you are. So we have to incorporate. We have to save names. We have to have a way to any delicious, delightful, new aspect of thought that comes forth has to be able to be copywritten. We have to be able to basically take different new aspects that we are developing and copyright them so it doesn't get bastardized. Now, who can steal from non-physical? Nobody. Who can limit non-physical? Nobody. The things that are flowing that are pure. But it becomes a simple way of making a line in the sand so your interaction, JW's interaction, Carolyn's interaction, and others that will come and be a part. There are others. There are others that are coming to help.
Right.
They haven't made themselves known to you yet, and we don't want to nix it, but we could go specifically with John. John will, well, doesn't matter. This is just for the record. John is going to be a part, and he's going to take care of media. Barbara's going to be a part, and Barbara's going to take care of the basic dynamics of scheduling. Elizabeth is going to be available, and she's going to take care of phones and answering the phones and taking care of those parts. Leon is going to take over the process of duplication and reproducing the CD and or download digitizing part that makes it largely available from a process of making this available to everyone on the leading edge that has the wanting. You can't limit it. You can't put it in a box. You can't say we're only going to do this much and no more because there is no limit to more. You see, no more is kind of an oxymoron. Is that like yes, less? I'm just asking because we have to get the words in a format that folks can digest it. You wouldn't give a baby a ribeye steak. You give them something soft, milk, or then into soft foods, crackers, little things that their bodies can digest. You don't go straight to Chateaubriand because they can't, they choke to death. But that's the best protein that they actually could have at that stage to actually give them the building blocks that they need that are their cellular basis, that protein-based thing. But, you know, you can't give babies cashews. They can't do it. They can't get there.
Mm.
So they start where they are. And we're not talking about you becoming the representative of Casper Milk Toast because that's not what the world's asking for. What you've asked for in Creative Become is the ability to start for about 2 seconds, give them Casper Milk Toast, okay? But now we're past that. Now it's time for grown-up food. Now it's time for fresh vegetables. Now it's time for more complex flavors. Now it's time to figure out what a hollandaise is and what it goes on and how palatably enjoyable that will be in the creation. The technology that's coming in the next 6 months is going to be absolutely beyond anything that human man has ever known up until now. And that superhighway that's being created, which will make the internet look like the printing press, by the way, will now set a precedent to where everyone on the leading edge who's interested can have access to information instantaneously. Basically, they should be able to create the technology through non-physical to have their question asked and answered from their PDA. Well, how do you do that? You relax and allow. And allow that to be in your experience. And then it will come. And there's no action. You can't invent. You didn't invent the internet the first time. Oh, wait, that was, who was your, Al Gore invented the internet, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. I don't remember, but it was amazing what you can forget that you don't have to remember. That part will catapult. And we're not talking about in 100 years. We're talking about now.
Mm-hmm.
That information is becoming available. The thinning of the veil is waking up a tremendous number of people. Souls are being activated on this plane. The plane here in non-physical. That's what's different. That's why you get it. That's why you have the ability to get it. And up until now, you were getting it, but you weren't getting it, but you thought you were getting it, but you tricked yourself into thinking you were getting it because you got it, and you knew you got it because you could get it. And once you got it because you could get it, you were starting to get it. And the next thing you know, you were talking about shit that nobody in the world could figure out, which ended up was going. And guess what? and became you manifested the relevant reference.
Mm-hmm.
You got there, you talked yourself into where you are.
Yeah.
And you're there. And that's 1,000 times more than you were.
Yeah, I thought myself into where I am.
Mm-hmm.
And expressed it.
Okay, now was that matter or antimatter?
It's hard to tell, isn't it?
No, it's not. It's easy to tell. It's easy. It's in your quadrants, which now you've got now. See, we've got that down. That's good. Now, did everybody on the planet get that grid that we're talking about with the four quadrants? No. Oh, no. No, no, not everybody. But you did, Bob.
Yeah.
And that's the only one that needed to get it. If no one else in the universe gets it, you got it. And that's the only one that was important at that time. Now, what are you going to do with it? Was that your own little pearl that you tuck away to hide under a bushel?
No, nope, I'm on the radio a lot.
What happens is it becomes a part of your beingness,
Yep. Your
knowingness. You take it from the lower quadrant to the upper quadrant. Then you can start taking things from the upper quadrant, the ethereal, the out there, airy, fairy out there somewhere that makes even quantum physics disgust. It's because they don't have any other words to call it when it's actually just really grits and gravy normal. This is their airy-fairy way of describing things that they can't describe.
Yeah.
Quantum physics. I think that might be a good definition, but you'll have to call Noah Webster, lexicographer, and he can work out all those details for you. However, now, you've now reached a new place. You can take specific direction and apply that into your non-physical part of you, the Bob that is, and apply it into the physical realm of a parameter. You see, on the radio, you have parameters.
Yeah.
You can't say use bad language or much bad language.
Yeah.
Well, what's bad language?
Yeah.
Where is bad language? But yet the censors will be on you over if you start talking about kitty porn and giving graphic details of it.
Yeah.
You see, you can't do that. They don't allow that.
Right.
Well, you're interested in the parts they do allow, and basically easing in this new place of hopefully whetting the appetite of those on the leading edge. You understand some people listen to you and they don't know why?
Yes, I understand that. They don't. Life has brought them there. It's allowed them to get there, but they don't have the mental understanding of the 3-2-1 why they got there, but they got there.
And you got them there.
Yeah.
You got them there, but that's not your job. You were just a pawn or a rook or maybe even a bishop.
Yeah.
Not quite sure.
Yeah.
If you look at a good game of chess.
Yeah.
You are an integral part to come to queen level 3.
Yeah.
Nobody's and JW has used that point several times, and he thought he understood what it meant, but what it really means is how do you orchestrate your beingness to affect causal effect in your universe, in your world, in your place. In your place in time has everything to do with how the universe exponentially is being increased. You see?
Yeah.
How many stars are there, Bob?
A zillion.
Well, no, the right answer is, I don't know, Ion. I haven't counted them all yet. And when I do, I'll let you know. Okay? Now, is that life-giving? Well, I don't know, but the point is, you can't worry about how many stars there are because you haven't even counted them all yet. And as you're counting them exponentially, they're being increased because of your counting and recognizing the stars that are.
Yeah.
You see, the whole perception, there are the same number of stars that have been, used to. You saw more stars than you see now because you had less radiant ambient light on the planet reflecting back to those stars that you couldn't see. Now, you actually see less stars because of all the light. In a city, you can hardly see that there are stars at all. If you're in a very bright light, your eye optic reflector can't pick it up because of the light that's on you.
Yes.
Be able to focus further. Now, you have broached that question many times. The new part comes into your capacity of simply taking that which you are, not what you know. You know what you know, but you don't know what you are. That's the new place. Because once you come into the deliciousness of knowing who you are, then what you know will become a tool that will allow you to effervesce the same joy that you've been able to achieve and convey historically these things that chase your rabbit down the hole into whatever dynamic that is, and that's all good and fun. Knock yourself out. Have fun. I mean, it is what it is. Have fun. Then what happens is you come right back to center, plumb and level, plumb and level.
Mm.
And then you come back to the very point or the cuspis of that point of this is live, this is Memorex. Oh, wait. No, the question is, it doesn't matter. Live is Memorex. Memorex is live. So the quadrants that you're pulling down can be a perfect example to convey to the non-physical part of the greatest number of the masses that are on the, not the leading edge, but the leading edge. So anytime that you desire or set up a conference where you have a few thousand people that come to chat with a non-physical being, be that Ion or and or as this develops, that experience, expressional experience of that tapping becomes the ability that everyone who comes to that particular seminar or gathering, that no one would have to be bored or not get it, or the people would be their perception of the crowd.
Yeah.
You see. And then you've got something moving. Because then you've got it to where folks are asking the right questions. And then the larger number of those on that leading edge don't care how they're going to get a shiny new car in their driveway. They understand that their goal or their wanting is a new way of transportation.
Yeah.
You see? And you can develop that and are developing it with your questions and your wanting and your asking. Now, are there limits in your world that of your participation with us in non-physical? Is there a place when you say this far and no further? And if that is, what is that?
Nope. I'm saying start having people show up in the room here.
Okay.
No limits to what you want to present. Show me your best stuff.
Take your best shot.
Take your best shot, Ion. Just watch out. Carolyn might not like it, so don't. Oh, Dave. Carolyn's got the limitations.
I saw, I think it was this morning, that something jumped out of place. You know, I didn't see it jump, but I looked at something, and it was in a certain place, and then... Seconds later, I looked back, and it was all, you know, it was in a different place. So I said, oh, there it is. There's things moving around. So I'm ready to.
Okay.
But it has to be non-umber.
Well, please, that's up to us.
Please present the thing in bright flaming red, not umber. That's a joke, sort of.
No, I understand, but really not. It really isn't, because guess what? Here's what I have to share. Everything in your experience will be umber, burnt umber,
yeah.
until you're able to see it.
Yeah.
And once you're able to see it, then you'll see its true color. The dimming of the light has nothing to do with what color it is. The dimming of the light is how you perceive the color to be.
Yeah.
You see, and that was tongue-in-cheek and very good timing, by the way. But you're going to notice, because of that position, you're going to see almost everything in Is that your wanting? Is that your wanting?
That it would land in my backyard.
No. To see it, you want to see.
Oh, yeah. I'd like to. Well, no, because I don't want anything. But to play the game of life, I'll sort of say, yeah, okay, I want that.
But that's not, you know, you've got to really want it. You're missing the whole point.
Right, and that's the point. First contact has happened about 300 times.
Over how many years, would you say?
That could be recordable.
Yeah.
About 400 years.
Okay.
Give or take a little bit. You had another block between, but your historical reference between Old Testament and New Testament.
Yeah.
There was 400 plus years that God supposedly didn't speak anymore.
Yeah.
Okay, they call it the Dark Ages.
Yeah.
Mm.
Okay, then you have about 400 years from here back that would play where God is speaking.
Mm.
Okay, and that's correct. But God's been speaking all along.
Yeah.
What happened in that span of time is people quit listening.
Yeah.
See, it's always available, but now, there's a fire. There's a breach. There is a bridge. There used to be a ferry. Once in a while, somebody could get through. But now, instead of having to wait on the ferry or sitting on the levee and wait on the Robert E. Lee, now there's a bridge, and the bridge is available, and you're the bridge builder. You can build a bridge to anything that you desire, and it can be developed in such a way that it would be palatable to you.